Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes saw, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But make them known unto thy children and thy children's children. What? The day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Assemble me the people, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Keep these portions in mind. Now, turn to chapter 6. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be for frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house, and upon thy gates. One other portion in chapter 7, while we're here, verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and thou shalt cast out many nations before thee, the Hittite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them up before thee, and thou shalt smite them, then thou shalt utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for he will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and he will destroy thee quickly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall break down their altars, and dash in pieces their pillars, and hew down their asherim, and burn their graven images with fire. Now, let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the instructions that thou givest in thy word about all things that pertain to life and godliness. We are so glad that you have set before us in this book that which an educated man should possess. And we pray, our Father, that we shall understand it. We confess that we have our own ideas what should be the contents of an education. But our God, thou dost tell us what its contents should be. And so let us listen unto you, we pray. We thank you for the blessings of the day. Were we not here this morning to remember your Son, we thank you for that hour when he said to us, Remember me. We were privileged to remember him. The feeding of thy lambs and sheep, the blessings of the day. And now, Father, at the close of the day, we look to thee again for good. Father, thou dost know how often we eat food during the day. We pray that we shall feed our souls this night as well. So we look to thee. Empower lips, prepare hearts, cleanse from sin, do all that's necessary, that thy word might be spoken as you would have it to be spoken, and to be a blessing to thy people. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. there were so many passages pertaining to this subject about God's education of His children, the things that He requires of them, that what I had to do was for the longest kind of time, look over them and condense them for this reason. In the passages that I did not read to you, there were no less than 28 references about children and their relationship to their parents. Think of that. Here is a portion of God's Word that is stressing that the life of a child is inseparable from the life of his parents. It inevitably is inseparable from the life of his parents. And because of that, God in the book of Deuteronomy, and notice, I'm just telling you from this book, my mind went to other portions that were similar to this, but if we're able to grasp the references in Deuteronomy, that will be sufficient. But no less than 28 times does God bring out the relationship of the parents to the child. And then, in portions like the ones that I read to you, it shows what God says is necessary to be the content of the education of the child by the parent. Now, have you ever discovered anywhere in the Bible that God demanded that His children be taught to read and write? And yet, if you don't do it, what will the authorities do to you? You say, why, they would have me arrested, they would have me fined. So, think of this. Your fellow man looks upon your children and he says, they of necessity must be educated. They of necessity must stay in school so many years. And you abide by the command of men. And yet God said in His Word, now, I command that this is what you educate your children. And yet, we will carry out the education of our children according to men for hours. But how much time have you spent? Now tell me, how many hours have you spent during the week in educating your children solely from God's Word alone? You say, why, I know. I'm thinking back now when Danny was staying with me, and we would read the Bible in the morning. We would pray. But think of this. If you spent as much time with your child teaching them to read and write as you do teaching them the lessons from the Bible, what grade would they be in? You would say they wouldn't be able to read and write. Why, of course not. So, that is why in the first passage that I read to you, God said, thou shalt diligently teach your children. And as I think of it, I say, well, someone else will do it. When they go to church, in Sunday school class, they will learn. But God says, no, that is not sufficient. It is for you, the parents, to train your children religiously as well as give them a secular education. Now, if those that knew you in the Lord came and insisted that you teach your children, let's say, 10 hours a week, intensively from the Bible, you would say, no, but the authorities can come and demand that you teach your children 40 hours or so a week. And you say, yes, I have to do that. Now, I'm just bringing these things to your attention to show you the importance we put upon secular education. But, though we speak of it, the little importance we put upon religious education. Because I never had Danny to sit down and teach him an hour a day from the Bible. Whenever I could, I would put in teachings. But I did not do as God tells me in this book, to systematically teach him earnestly and diligently. Now, having said that, I want you to consider the requirements that God places upon you as parents. Some of you do have children. Some of you, the opportunities have gone by as with me. If you did not teach them, then it's gone. But at least you can do it now, and God expects it of us. All right. You say, well, I don't know if my children would enjoy being taught the Bible diligently for an hour or so at a time. Do they enjoy being taught secularly for hours at a time? You say, no. I say, then you don't teach them because they don't enjoy it. You say, we have to teach them. And so if they don't enjoy the Bible and rebel against it, then we cut it short. But when it comes to secular things, well, they have to be taught this. Then evidently, the concept has gotten across that a secular education is more important than a religious education. I'm just bringing these things to your attention to laugh with you at our concepts, and yet we say the Word of God is the important thing, for God says it is. And I want you to get this Word into your children. That is what he tells us. All right. If this is so, how are we to go about it? And there are no less than 5 passages that speak about making known the Word of God and teaching the Word of God to our children. Now, the first passage was the one that I read to you in Deuteronomy chapter 4. It says this. It says, you shall make known my ways unto your children. This is the making known of the personal experience that you have had with your God. I've heard some children say, when their parents have visitors in the house, and the parents are going to tell a story, something they did during the war, something they did on a hunting trip, and the children will say, Daddy, you're not going to tell that story again, are you? Well, I'm thinking of this. Suppose your children had heard of your conversion and the experiences that you had had with God in the past so much that they knew them by heart, that they could tell others, Daddy, let me tell them. I've heard it so often. Why, that wouldn't be something that would be bad. It would be exactly what God wanted to take place in their lives. Here is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking now of what my mother told me of the religious training that she had in the past, and what my father told me, and I cannot remember anything my father told me about religious training he had in the past, but I can remember a little bit about what my mother told me, and I can remember something that my uncle told me about his dealings with religious men, and I never forgot it, and this is what is so funny. He was talking about the hypocrites of those people that were supposed to be evangelists and preach the gospel. He said, yes, there was this man, and I found out later that he was a distant cousin of mine. He said, this man that was so religious and was at revival meetings and he would get up and sing. He said, when you would go down to his store to buy ice cream from him, he had watered it down so much that it was weak and it was tasteless. And so that's what my uncle remembered about a religious man that sang songs at revival meetings. That when you went to buy ice cream in his store, he had watered it down so much that it had lost all its taste. Now, isn't that sad? Now, others, like my mother, she could tell me about a man named Mr. Pullen, and there was a church in Raleigh called Pullen Memorial Church. He was a man that preached the gospel, and she remembered the verse that Mr. Pullen would quote every time he had an opportunity to speak it to people. She remembered that from a child, and she told me those things. Now, this is what God wants. He wants you to make sure that your children learn of the experience that you had with God. Notice, it speaks about telling your children and your children's children what? It says, the day that you stood before the Lord thy God in Horeb. It's called Horeb, and it's also called Mount Sinai. And God says, that experience that you had with God, hearing the voice of God, seeing the fire from God, you tell your children this experience that you had. And then tell your children's children. You would say, well, if I tell my children, it is their responsibility to tell theirs. That's true. But the way it's stated here, we are to tell our children and our children's children. So how many soever generations God might give, we are to tell them as well, so that your children can know of your experience with God, and your grandchildren can know of your experience with God, and your great-grandchildren, if God gives you that length of life, that they also can know of your experience with God. And one thing that is so interesting is God's dealing with a man in a personal way. Whether a man can preach or not, if a visitor comes and you say, will you speak for us? I'm not a speaker. Well, will you give your testimony? So many times I've been blessed by hearing how that man was brought under conviction of sin, the religious training that he had in his home, and finally the way that Christ came into his life. It's always so interesting. And so this is the first way that we have to teach our children. But how sad if a parent cannot think of any religious experience that he's had with God, as these Israelites did at Mount Horeb and Sinai, if he cannot remember how he was born again, and he would have to refer that child to his mother or someone else. Go ask your Sunday school teacher. This isn't the way that God wants it. He says, you tell your children, you teach them and their children the things that you have experienced. All right. That is the place that God gives it for the first time. Notice, the first lesson is your personal experience that you've had with God. Teach it your children and your children's children. And that would be wonderful if I had heard my father tell me about his conversion. But I never remember him telling me anything about God. My mother, a little bit about her religious experience, but not her conversion to God until after I witnessed to her and then she confessed Christ to me. So tell your children about the religious experiences you've had, because it's so important. It means then that parents are to talk to their children. Now, go to chapter 6. Chapter 6. And look at verse 4. 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be for frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates. Now, it's not a personal experience here, but it is something beyond yourself that is to be done. Now think, the Word of God is to be within and without. It is to be spoken. It is to be written. It is to be worn, and it is to be placed upon your person and upon your property. You say, that sounds like fanaticism to me. Thank God for such fanaticism. If this occurs in the home of a family, that child is so exposed to the things of God, conversation about God, conversation with God, that it is his natural element. Just like this. What is so sad is that if you talk to some children today, the corrupt communications that proceed out of their mouth, then you understand what has been going on in their home. Listen to the conversation of a child, and you can tell what has been talked about and what has not been talked about in his home. And this is what God wants. For this reason, then, God tells us that it is not something that you do 1 hour a day. Thank God for it if you do. But notice, it says you shall talk about it when you sit down, when you rise up, when you walk, when you go to sleep. You say, that's all the time. That's how much God wants you to talk about the Lord. All the time. Let me tell you a compliment. It wasn't meant as a compliment, but it was. This dear gentleman in the mountains that rents us his home, I said, I want to come and be with you. I would like to visit you. He said, there's no reason for you to visit me. He said, all you would do is talk about religion when you're with me. I said, no, no. I said, I'll talk about other things. He said, you are full of religion. You can't help but talk about religion. I said, I'll talk to you about secular things as well. And so the man knew that if I were going to be around him, it was impossible for me not to talk about the things of the Lord unless I tried to. Now, for some of us, we have to try to talk about the things of the Lord. Others, we have to try not to talk about the things of the Lord. And so once in a while, I would say, tell me about some of the experiences of your youth. And he would tell me about them. And I would say, now, that's interesting, and that reminds me in my life. And it seems like every time something religious would come up, and he would say, look, you see, I told you this is what would happen. So that's exactly what it should be. It means that when you are in your dining room or living room, sitting down, the conversation should be about the things of God. Did you notice that? It says, when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, if you go walking with a friend, the conversation should be about the things of God. When you lie down at night, you could talk to your wife about the things of the Lord. It says, when you lie down and when you rise up, the first thing that you should talk about in the morning is the things of God. And I remember a man, Peter Pell's father in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And that was why people hated him. He had a certain habit. He would get up early in the morning. And when he got up in there early in the morning, he would sing songs and praises to God. And evidently he didn't have a good voice, but he had a strong voice. And he was in the hospital one time, and it made no difference where it was. And when he woke up in the morning, he was singing these praises to God. And the attendant said, would you please get your father to stop singing all these religious songs to God? He's disturbing all the patients in the hospital. He said, you get him to stop. I can't get him to stop. He's been doing it his whole life long. Now, isn't that a glorious testimony? That a man's father, when he rose up in the morning, rose up singing praises to God. That was the first thing on his mind. When he went to bed at night, to have the thoughts of God issuing from your lips. That is the life that God expects of us. You say, well, your life is nothing but the things of God. That's exactly what the Lord expects of us. He expects our souls to be saturated with the things of God. Notice what it says. It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart. Do you see? I told you the words are to be within you. And then it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently thy children. And they shall talk of them, and thou shalt talk of them. And so here you're diligently teaching your children, and you're talking about them all the days of your life and all the hours of the day. But let me warn you, you don't make yourself obnoxious. There is a way to do these things, and you have to be wise. I remember one brother who suddenly was becoming zealous in teaching his children. And so the children had to get up to go to school in the morning, and they had just a few minutes for breakfast, and the father said, now we're going to have a devotion. And he sat down, and his devotion went on and on and on, and his wife was shaking her hand, please stop, the children have to get to school. He said, am I overdoing it? I said, start out, since you've never done it in the past, start out giving just a little bit, and then increase it day by day as they're able to bear it. But he wanted to start out as if he had been doing it his whole life long, but at least he wanted to start out. He wanted to teach his children. And this is what God said. All right, now notice, we have the twofold teaching of our children. We are to teach them the experiences we had with God, but now, here in chapter 6, it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Here, it's not the personal experience you've had with God, but it is the teaching that comes from God. And this is the order. God taught Moses, and Moses taught Israel, and Israel was to teach their children, and those children were to teach their children. Now, I'm not only to be able to teach my children my personal experience with God, but I am to be familiar with all the teachings. In this day and time, it was the teachings that God had given to Moses, and Moses had written them down. God required that all the Word of God that was existent at that time, they were to know, and they were to teach their children. Then, how much of God's Word is in our hands today? What a task lies before us. So, notice, we have two things. Our personal experience with God is to be taught our children, and then all the teachings that are contained in this book, and now the whole Word of God, are to be taught our children. You say, that's a lifetime. Of course it is. It takes a lifetime. And in a lifetime, you can't teach it all, but you can keep at it if you do it diligently the way that they say. Now look at verse 20 in chapter 6. Here is a different way. "When thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the ordinances which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders," and so forth and so on. And look at verse 24. "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as at this day." Now, this is the important difference, and I experienced it just a few weeks ago. It says, "When thy son asketh thee in time to come." All right. You are not to wait until your son asks you, but you are to be teaching him all the time. But the time may come when of himself he asks you about these statutes and these doctrines and these teachings that are being observed in your life. That is the time that you are to speak to him. Would to God that such a thing would happen, and it did happen. Just a little while back, Trina and Heather were baptized, and Matthew wanted to know what it was all about. Isn't that delightful? And when they come and sit down, and they see you pass the bread and the fruit of the vine, and they say, "Why can't I have it?" Then you have to tell them. When a child asks why things are done, that means that some questioning within has arisen. Let's trust that it's of God. Whatever the reason is, it may be that as Zacchaeus went up that sycamore tree simply to find out who Jesus is, that your child is just curious. But this is a glorious opportunity to tell him again about your experience and the experience that God placed upon your fathers in the past. And notice this. While so often the children would say, "These religious observances, these prohibitions in our lives." Look at verse 24. It says, "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as at this day." And while you are teaching them, you show them that the observance of these commands is for their good, and that if you keep these commandments, it will preserve your life. To obey God is to prolong your life. And this is what God tells us again and again. Now, turn to chapter 11. This is what is so interesting. In chapter 11, Look at verse 18. It should be familiar to you. Therefore, shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. Again, the word within. And ye shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be for frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, talking of them, when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house, and upon thy gate. You say, we just read that in chapter 6. Yes. And God says, read it again in chapter 11. Therefore, there is no doubt what he wants. If there is the display over your house, over your possessions, on your person, praise God. Now, if someone wears a cross, I've seen so many people, even heathen people wearing crosses, they will wear them in their ears. It's just the thing to do. Then, I do not find in the scripture that we are to wear a cross or something like that. But if someone did have a portion of God's word and they wore it as an adornment on their dress, why, they would be in conformity with what God told them to do in the Old Testament. And to show you the wisdom of God in this thing, it says that the word of God is to be written not only in a book, not only on your person, but upon your possessions as well, on the entrance to your house and on the gate of your house. I can remember from over 50 years ago a little poem that was on the wall in my house. Think of that. Now, what if in my house there had been verses of Scripture? Why, you look at them and you would memorize those verses of Scripture. When I go into church buildings, it's quite in order to have Scripture displayed. And I can remember those that were on the Raleigh Gospel Chapel. I can remember Ephesians chapter 4. I can remember the one up in Toronto and different places. I've seen those texts on the wall just up at Greenwood Hills, that in everything Christ might have the preeminence. He is preeminent. And so God knows that when the word is written and displayed before your eyes, it will catch your eye, and it will impress you and remain upon your mind. And that is what God wants. And so, if you come to my house, yes, praise God, you will find some religious writings on the wall. And it's quite in order if someone comes to your house, if you have a text on the front door. Why? Because God says that's the way it's to be. And if you wear verses of Scripture on your clothing or on your person, it is perfectly in order. But we don't do it for simply an outward show. We do it because it is within, and we are ready to display it without. All right, just one other thing for tonight. Turn to chapter 7. This is the training, the teaching of your children. I told you that 28 times the children and the parents were associated together. All right, here is an association of your children, and in association with them, you are not only to teach them, but also more than teach them. It says in verse 1, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, and so forth, it says, verse 2, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them up before thee, so and so and so and so, verse 3, it says, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for he will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and he will destroy you quickly. All right. We just learned that to obey God is lengthening of days, it's preservation, it's safety. And God says to disobey him is to quickly bring destruction upon you. So this is what the Lord says to us. Not only are you to teach them the word of God, but there is also the restraining of them, because it says concerning the heathen,
You are not to make a covenant with them, and you are not to take heathen daughters into your family, and you are not to give your daughters or your children unto them. This is something that God says is associated in the relationship of the parents with the children. And I have known some who came to this meeting who married unsaved persons, and yet they were believers, and they said, well, I was never taught this at my church. My parents never taught me this. That is why God would have us to know just who are the mates for our children. And we're not only to tell them, but it says you are not to give them, and you are not to accept them. So now, think of yourself if you are one who trains your children the way God wants them trained. I know your parents will think that you are a religious fanatic. They will think about you and say, when I was at home, I couldn't get away from the things of God. When we were sitting down, when we were walking, God's word was always discussed around my house. Well, that might be a criticism to you, but it would be in the ear of God a testimony that you had obeyed his word, that you had done what he said. And so if man says, now, this is the way I suggest that you train your children, and they fail, that's one thing. But if you train them as best you know how with wisdom from God and the way that he tells you, and things go awry, you can say, oh God, the best that I knew how, I taught my children. So these are a few remarks about the education that God requires for his children. Let us pray. Our Father, forgive us for all our failures, for emphasizing the things that are so important in this life. And yet, these other things that you tell us, they are important for this life as well as the life to come. So let us understand what is of great importance to you. We are so thankful for the secular education we can give our children. Our Father, let them have the best as you will. But at the same time, let them be educated in the scriptures as well. And let them have their lives saturated with the word of God, the things of God, the testimonies from the people of God. Let us be Christian men and women, parents, who train our children the way that you would have them trained in your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.